Last week in Huntersville, a man wrote a letter to the IRS. I got to tell you, I have underpaid my taxes for years, and it's starting to bother my conscience so much so that I can't sleep. So he enclosed a check for $5,000. And if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. There is an uneasiness in us that we're holding out on Jesus, not submitting all of our lives or holding back some part of our lives from Jesus. That there is an uneasiness because we're holding out on Jesus, that we are half-hearted followers. Jesus hasn't moved in all the way. He just comes by when we invite him. Or he's living in some of these rooms over here, but the rest are no trespassing, Jesus. Not here. It's that uneasiness, that reality that has driven a number of you in your request to Jesus to answer questions for us in our fall series to say, how is it, Jesus, that I can follow you more intentionally and feel you more fully in my life? Well, Jesus wants us to go all in with him. So that is why today he offers us a way for him to come all in, for us to be all in with him, pointing to a piece of us that we tend to hold back more than any other. Jesus does this through the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is 3 days away from his crucifixion. He's facing his death and his suffering. So when we're close to our days of death, our words get more urgent. So you can hear his voice saying, please listen to me. Please live like this, Jesus says. And so he then tells a parable, a story, that speaks to some life reality, that points to a life-changing truth for the disciples then and us today, that can bring his kingdom and bring Jesus into us and fill us, Jesus says, with overflowing joy. Here's the story. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey, and the one who received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and doubled the master's investment. So also the one with 2 talents did the same. But the one who received 1 talent dug a hole and buried his master's money. After a time, the master returned and settled accounts with them. The one given 5 talents brought the other 5. Look, he said, look, you've entrusted me with 5 talents and I have doubled your investment. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. So come now and share the joy of your master. Now you are my partner. The one with 2 talents also came. See, you have entrusted me with 2 talents, and look, I have doubled your investment. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come now and share the joy of your master. Now you're my partner. Then the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and buried your talent in the ground. And see, here's what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Then you should have at least invested the money with the banker so I'd receive some interest. Take that talent and give it to the one who risks the most. And get rid of that, play it safe. He won't go out on a limb. Throw him out. Throw out that worthless servant that's outside and into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be all in with Jesus. Jesus says, invest with boldness the investment that God has made in you to invest to build God's kingdom. We miss the whole truth of this story if we miss the first 6 words. The kingdom of God is like. Jesus tells us what is at stake in choosing whether to invest with boldness. The investment that God has made in us depends on whether the kingdom of God comes in our life, in our marriage, in our family, our school, our work, our community, our church. The kingdom of God is at stake, Jesus says. And Jesus says, do you want the kingdom of God living in you? Well, then you just look at those first two servants and do what they did. What God has done for them and does for everybody seating here this morning is give us a generous abundance of gifts. And Jesus emphasizes this by the way he tells the story. That the people who hear the story, they're saying, wow, really? Because what Jesus says is the master gives these servants one talent and two talent and five talents. A talent was money worth an entire 5 years' wages, 15 years' wages, 15 years' wages for a laborer. 15 years' wages. So they got one and two and five, which is 15 and 30 and 75 years of wages he gives and trusts to these servants. They all got a different amount. But they all got a generous abundance that was given to them and trusted to them without asking by the master. See, the problem with this third servant, he didn't get it. But what the third servant says is, you are a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. Where the fact was, is that true? No, he had already sown in this man's life 15 years of wages. Oh, you're a hard man. You don't ever sow. Oh, yeah, he did. You see, God gives generous gifts to us in abundance. You know what your gifts are? You're breathing this morning. God brought you into this life. He does give you financial resources, each in different amounts. He gives you family and friends. He gives you unique abilities and unique personalities. He gives you opportunities. He gives you the power of prayer. He gives you life. See, God gives us generous gifts in abundance. Question is, what do we do with all that stuff? See, God has given us all these gifts, but Jesus, he points to one. The one that stands in the way of going all in with Jesus. And that's God's gifts of money. Yep, money. Of financial resources. And the ability to receive and sometimes even accumulate financial resources. Jesus points to the financial resources because he knows that money is the one thing that stands between us the most than Jesus. Some of you are already nervous this morning. Oh, Lord, the pastor's talking about money. Yeah, I am. I am talking about money. Why is it in a church you're not supposed to talk about money? When John Kohlberg is working with his company, I guarantee you money is one of the things they think about. Right? But we'll come to church. Oh, Lord, don't talk about money in this place. Please don't. Well, you're going to hear it. All right? Because Jesus says that money is the problem. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money because you're going to hate one and love the other. When that young man came to see him to say, how can I get eternal life? Jesus said, sell all you have, give it to the poor and follow me. The man turned away and left. Another man, different. A man named Zacchaeus. And Jesus brought him down from a tree and went to lunch with him. And then Jesus says, salvation has come to this man's family. Why? Because he took God's gift of money and started giving it away. You see, for some of us, we're like those Roman soldiers. Now we're going all the way back to Rome. Constantine declared that all of Rome had to become Christians. He did that because he saw a cross in the clouds, painted on their shields, and they won a battle. What a great way to decide we're all going to be Jesus followers, right? It worked. Because when the emperor says do it, they do it. So he then said, all the soldiers, you got to become Christians. You go down in there and be baptized. But when they went in the water to be baptized, you know what they did? As they went under, they held a sword out of the water. Jesus doesn't get my sword. Because I know he wouldn't like what I do with this sword. When we go down and we give Jesus our lives, we take our wallet and we hold it up out of the water. But I want you to think about it this way from a different perspective. Suppose you had some money. Suppose you had $1,000. And you took it to an investment advisor and you gave it to them and said, I want you to invest this. This is 1 year ago today. And you came back a year later this week. And you said, how am I doing? And the investment advisor opens his drawer and says, here's your $1,000. And you realize that if he had just put it in an S&P index fund, you would have gained 15.8%. But you got zero. In fact, you got less than zero because of inflation. How would you feel about that investment advisor? Not good? But suppose he said, well, actually, there's nothing left. I spent it all on myself. How's that going to work? Call your lawyer. But the problem here is that that's the way God looks at us. I gave Fred these financial resources, and what's he doing with it? What he's doing with it is spending it all himself. He's not investing it in the kingdom of God. And what that does, Jesus says, notice what happens. What he says when that happens is we cut ourselves off from Jesus because we haven't given him that important part of life that we love more than him and what he wants for us. That's why he says, take that worthless service and put him in the darkness. He was already in the darkness because he had held back a part of his life from Jesus. He wasn't all in. Well, each year, you are delighted to know, I know. Would y'all put that body language where you're doing this? Could y'all just loosen up? Come on, Nina. It's okay. You can just sort of loosen up. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like it. So come on, Hugh. Come. Uncross those arms and look like you're going to receive the word of God this morning. Okay, y'all are with me. So every year about this time, Jesus issues a new invitation to us to go all in with him. To invest what has been invested in us boldly, not timidly, in building the kingdom of God. And each year we have a choice. Are we going with servant number one, servant number two, or servant number three? Are we going to go all in with Jesus and invest boldly in the kingdom of God and receive the joy of the Master? Or are we just going to say, nope, Jesus, not me. Not now. I want to be servant number three. So we hear this truth that Jesus offers. If you'll invest boldly in the kingdom, not holding back from me, according to your ability, then I will give you my joy and you and I will be partners. I'll be living in your life. We're walking side by side as partners in life, Jesus said. But how can we be moved for that to happen? The answer is by a positive return on investment that benefits us and something we're excited about. Now, people say, well, we give because we're grateful. If that was true, we wouldn't even need a campaign like this. That's just not true. People say it. People say, well, go home and pray about it. I'm sorry, friends. Those prayers are not getting through the ceiling. That does not move people to give. I know this. There are a lot of things I don't know. I know this. What moves people to give is by seeing a positive return that benefits them and theirs. You don't believe that? Somebody comes to this church and they got some little kids. They're going to say, how's your children's ministry, right? Why are they asking that question? Because they want this ministry here to benefit their children. Same thing with the youth ministry. Whatever it may be, people, there's nothing wrong with this. Is that people want to invest in a way that blesses them. And people get excited about something and they want to give. Invest in that. You don't believe that? People spend tons of money to go to what? A Panthers game? For a 2-5, 2-6? They go to Bears games. They lost one. They've won one game. But they spend all this money. Why? Because the game is exciting. And they are fired up about it. Well, what Jesus says is let's get fired up about the kingdom of God. Because we're blessed by it. So, what I want to do is put in context the invitation coming up in a few minutes here. And the context is that you have invested boldly. For sure we have. And I want to just give you a quick scenario, a summary of how your investment has been created a positive ROI and is exciting. Your investment has brought you a pastor who prays for you, who preaches the word of God for you in a loud voice so everybody can hear it, right? No problem with energy up here. Substance, maybe? No problem with energy. And who prays for you almost every day. And who, I hope, listens to you and comforts you and guides you when you ask. And for sure, a pastor who loves you. Your investment has brought you a prayer team and a care team who prays pinpoint prayers for this church every week, who prays for your pastor. And who brings you meals and sends you cards and calls you on the phone and prays with you over the phone. Your investment has brought you this family of love who comes together in fellowship and gives you fellow Christians to walk with in your journey. It has brought you a director for youth, children, and families, who, my friends, has blessed this whole church and everybody sitting here this morning in some amazing way. Our young people are on fire with the Holy Spirit and in love with Jesus and wanting to serve Him. They want to be challenged and pushed even more. It's brought you a band that I talk to Hina every week. I say, how'd y'all do this today? Don't you think? Can we hear it for the band? Come on, let's hear it for a band. I mean, really. That is an ROI that is off the chart. More than 15%, I guarantee you, than S&P. It's better than S&P. Think about that. So every week we're blessed by this music that lifts us up and inspires us. Our ROI has resulted in small groups that come together. Almost everybody except five people are in a small group in this church. Some meet more than others, I must admit. But we are blessed by those friends who walk with us, who give us support and say, oh, your brother's an addict, so is mine. That's priceless. That's what your investment has made possible in this family. It's brought us this East Huntersville ministry that has not only changed the lives of the folks over there in that community, but brought us all together as one youth and has fired up our lives more than ever. It's inspired us to focus on organic outreach, giving each one of us the tools in order to bring somebody to Jesus in their life. And doing the seemingly impossible, paying off our mortgage. Five and a half years ago, we owed $675,000. In July, we owe zero. That is a positive return on the investment in this church. And it's exciting. So I ask you, does it sound like your bold investments have been paid off in a positive ROI? What do you think? Can I hear it? Yeah. They certainly have. And that's because, as a result, we are a small church with making a big impact. But now the invitation for the year. So Jesus has used this amazing, bold investment from your part to bring about exciting and life-changing Jesus working in our lives. As Doug Cox said in our recent session meeting, this church rocks, he says. We're on a roll. But the point is, you can't rest. We can't rest on our laurels. We got to keep the momentum going to keep growing the heart of Metal Lake. For the truth is, the heart of Metal Lake still has some needed pieces. Keep rolling. There it is. There's that missing piece right there. And what Jesus says to us this morning, and each according to ability, has got a piece that can change that and make the heart whole. So that when we all come together and invest boldly in the kingdom of God, then this is what happens. Jesus is in the heart of this church, and Jesus is in our hearts. What you're yearning for is that Jesus fills our lives and His joy overflows. But some of you are asking, okay, you just listed all these ways that our bowling investment has paid off in an amazing way. So why can't we just take it easy for a year? Now, y'all who know me, is rest one of my vocabulary? It's profanity. It really is. But you're saying, why don't we just give the same we did last year? Look at all we did last year. Well, I'm going to make a case this morning for why it is more important than ever this year to invest in boldness in just three more pieces that will make the heart of Metal Lake whole so that Jesus can then do what the master says, and then I'll put you in charge of more. Just get whole, and then amazing more things will happen. So the reason I think this is a key issue, I know it's a key issue, is because this is different than every other year since 2008 when I came. On April Fool's Day, that might tell you something. I think maybe the church timed that. Okay, here comes the April Fool. We got him. So what's going to happen is in 2017, you're going to have a new pastor. You're going to call a new pastor. And it's not going to be some lay pastor, commissioned lay pastor, and now they call him commissioned ruling elder, who's willing to serve for virtually no compensation. It's not going to be some part-time pastor like you had before me. Who didn't give full time because they didn't get paid for it. No, this time, this church needs to send a message to that person that God wants for us that this family is full of the first two servants. that this family is investing boldly and excited about the return on investment that's happening in the life of this church. A family that not only stands on higher ground, it stands on solid ground. Family that, like those first two servants, exclaimed to Jesus, "Look, look, look, see what has been done and see what more can happen." A family that is so bold in its vesting that our hearts become so strong because all the pieces, the key basic pieces, have been filled in, that Jesus will say, "Now there's more for you. Now I'm living in your heart. Now you feel my joy, my love. And now we're going to go and build this kingdom more in ways that nobody sitting in these blue chairs this morning can even imagine. That's going to happen if we invest with boldness to fill in the final pieces." So what I want to do this morning is to update. This is just an update from last year. It's pretty simple. A little last year, this year. So there are these three needed pieces. The first one is to remind you that in 2014, we invested $40,000 we did not have to call Christine to be our director of youth, children, and families. And as of the end of last year, we had knocked out $20,000 of that $40,000 deficit in funding that position. Now, this year, we're down to $10,000 more to fully fund that position. We're paying it, but to fully fund that position. And so, what a gift it would be to the next pastor for Christine to be here and to be fully funded and not being concerned about being sure that Christine is fully paid, which she is, but it's coming out of some other account. What a gift that would be, because what a gift Christine is to this church, for the people who also support her. But let's just fill in that one piece that's missing in our investment in this church. Second is that missing piece that relates to your pastor. Since 2011, and especially this 2016, your bold investment in the Fifth Sunday offering paid off the mortgage. Well, voila! This is Dick Branson's mantra all along. If you pay off the mortgage, you got enough money to hire a real pastor. That was all that we said. I was always very appreciative of that, pointing that out to you. I know he loved me, right, Dick? Okay. So providentially, he was right. We were paying $70,000 a year in mortgage payments, and $70,000 is the minimum, what they call the minimum terms of call for a full-time experienced pastor. That's compensation, housing, and benefits. You can guess what the biggest benefit is, which is the problem, is health insurance. Health insurance is another 25% on top of the minimum terms of call. So, but $70,000 is the minimum. However, it is time for Meadow Lake, and we can do this, to not be seen as a minimum church. This is not a minimum family. We got to get that through our heads. We are a small church, but we can make a big impact. And the way that can happen is if we, instead of paying the minimum and hopefully getting a minimum pastor, like you got now, I'm suggesting that we offer a premium of 10% on top of the minimum. We can go to some pastor and say, "Look, we are a premium, big impact church, and we want not a big impact pastor, but a bigger impact pastor," right? We can do this. And we're going to send a message that we're not some little church, and we can't do more than just getting by. That sends a message. We can do this. And the third thing, apologies to our property stewardship team, is not all that exciting, but it is impactful. However, it is exciting when the toilets are overflowing. That's a big deal. It is exciting when the air conditioning goes off and it's 95 degrees outside. But the last missing piece of this that we started last year is to understand this building was built in 2000. The average normal life of the equipment here is 10 to 15 years. So you do the math, we're living on borrowed time. And really, this stewardship team, I'm looking at some of them, they can do amazing things with duct tape. And they can do amazing things and say, "I hope the electrical inspector never comes by." I mean, that happens around here. Don't tell anybody. And when the gas is leaking, they say, "Well, just open the doors. It'll be okay." So they're patching everything together and doing a great job of that. But one of these days, we're going to need some money for this. And so last year, we started on this three-part installment where we set aside $15,000 each year So at the end of 3 years, we have, what's that, $45,000 in this fund over here. That's just prudent business, right? Because the worst thing that happened, a new pastor comes in here, we're living on a shirt, on a string, and all the air conditioners go out at once, and Henry and Dick, and I had to say, we can't fix this anymore, we actually have to pay somebody to do this. And we're looking, where does that money come from? We say, the pastor's salary. Where else did it come from, right? By the way, we're not monks. We do not take a vow of property. So, I mean, that would not be a great thing to happen. So let's just set this aside. So we've got the money when the time comes. So what that all comes down to, if you're doing the math, is $32,000 more in addition to what we're given this year. We have 50, more than 50 families, but to round it off, this is $600 a family. This is $2 a day, $14 a week. How's that sound? That sounds like some used car ad. That's the way it works. So you just think about, can you afford $2 a week? $2 a day. Thank you, $2 a day. Thank you. Thank you. $2 a day. To make this happen. Because what we're saying here is when this happens, our heart is full. All the basic missing pieces are gone. And that's when Jesus says to the first and second servant, and now I will give you more, he says. I will give you more. But more, I'm going to be in your heart. You're going to feel me when you personally make that investment. And you're going to feel my joy. And you're going to be my partner in life. So, for each of us, what this means is not only will we see this amazing return on investment, but Jesus, when this happens, this is going to happen, here's what Jesus is going to look like. You're going to love this picture. What's he doing up there? What's he doing? You just did it. What's he doing? He's going to be laughing. He's not laughing at us like he usually does. Like, what? No, he's going to be laughing of joy. Wow, look what they've done. I knew they could do it, he said. And he's laughing, and then he says, okay, I've had a good laugh, but come on, man. He's going to say, come on into my heart, because I have seen how you've given your heart because you believe in the kingdom of God. And you're going to make that bold investment to bring about the complete heart of Meadow Lake. And here's what's going to happen in your life. We're going to move from here. This heart is missing that piece in your life. Those who ask this question of Jesus, a piece is missing is going to end up like that. Jesus, right in the middle of your heart. Wow, that to me is worth a bold investment. But I'm telling you, you're hearing a bunch of words this morning. A lot of words, pretty loud words. You've heard that. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. It is the truth I'm telling you this morning. I know it's the truth, and I'm going to tell you once again, Sally, my story. Well, this is my last shot at this. I'm just going to tell the story again. Because maybe this year will inspire you even more. Maybe it already has. But Sally and I learned this truth. Sally and I were in our early 30s. We had three kids. And our church, Myers Park Press, says, Sally and Fred, y'all are real active in the church, so we want you to come to worship service, and we want to talk about financial stewardship in your life. So we talked about this, and we said, okay, we could throw out the usual cliches. We could do that. We know lots of cliches. But we decided that we're going to tell the truth, and we're going to be personal. So on that Sunday morning, I can still see it. I can see the people sitting in their rows. I can see them because they always sat in the same rows. By the way, Dick Ranson and Julie always sat right about where Julie is every single Sunday. And God help you if you sat in that seat. So I can still see those people there. And Sally and I got up there, and we confessed before God and those 800 people that we were only given 2% of our income, and that was after taxes income. That is not what you call a tithe. So we made for us a bold promise that we would increase our investment in the life of the church by 1% of our income a year until we reached 10%. So what actually happened is 2 years later, we admitted to each other that we weren't investing boldly. We could do this. It wasn't pushing us at all. And so we immediately went to 10%, and we've never looked back. Because we saw how this investment was changing the lives of people and changing the lives of our children. Little did we know that Jesus was changing our hearts so that 25 years later, our lives would be totally changed in a way that some of you know about. For when we made that bold investment, Jesus did something else. Not only did our lives open to him more than ever, then he took us and he started moving us out in bold ways to serve in the community. In ways we never would have done. We got out of our comfort zone big time. Because we let go of that peace that we're holding back from Jesus. And so he just was able to send us out because he had hold of our hearts. And we experienced his joy when we did. And because we made that move to invest boldly for God's kingdom, Jesus took hold of our hearts, and on April the 1st of 2008, he changed our lives forever. So he brought us here. Here, my friends, is a blessing overflowing with joy. No more so than the ways you have embraced us and supported us and prayed for us for these last 2 years. What in the world we have done without you? And even though Sally and I have been walking through a challenging time, I guess is a good way to put it, Jesus has hold of our hearts. So he's still there. He didn't leave us. So he's given us that peace that this stuff cannot take away. We feel his love, and we're still boldly investing in our lives as best we can and building the kingdom. And we saw something that I really didn't fully expect, in a way. Is it because we made that bold investment and our children saw it all those years ago? Now they're walking with us, and they've got Jesus by the hand at the same time. Would you want that for all of your children? But what about this year? What about this year? We're going to be gone most of the year. So what do? Do we allocate our investment based on 3 months? We say we're not going to be here anyway, so what's it to us? Well, we talked about this. And I'd like to tell you, as a pastor, we prayed about it, and we read the scripture about it, and we meditated about it. I'd like to be able to tell you that's what pastor's supposed to do, right? Jen said this morning, go and pray about this. Well, actually, Christine said that. We didn't pray about it. It took us less than 35 seconds to answer this question. When that commitment Sunday comes, Sally and I are going to be making a full commitment for the year to this body of Christ that we love. And we're going to increase it too. We're boldly investing because as of that Sunday, we'll be committing 15.6% of our income to this family. Why in the world we do that? Because we love you, but more, we believe in the amazing big impacts that Jesus Christ is making through this family. And we want that momentum not to stop, my friends, but to keep on going. And we want for each one of you to be able to say, I'm boldly investing right along with you. Because the payoff is, you're going to keep on making a big impact. And most of all, Jesus is going to say to you, come on. Come on and receive my joy. Keep walking hand in hand with me. I'm your partner. Amen.